SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Imagine a 25-hour period where not a shop or place of entertainment or business is open, and when the cars on the streets are few and far between, and you have a picture of Israel on Yom Kippur. For many Israelis, it is the one day in the year when they do attend a Bet Knesset. For others, it is a day to experience peace and quiet in their neighborhoods. It is a chance for children to cycle, scooter, or rollerblade on the roads. It's the one day in the year when families can be together without needing to attend to outside matters. For the religious and traditional communities, Yom Kippur is, of course, the holiest day of the year and is devoted to prayer and repentance. A 25-hour fast is observed, no leather is worn, and people focus on nourishing their spiritual selves rather than their physical and animalistic sides. Under the motto, Zohar makes the Jewish holidays accessible to all Jews, open Orthodox rabbis are reaching out to the secular community here to make them feel welcome and comfortable in prayer settings. Now in its 19th year, their Yom Kippur Praying Together program this year will be hosting over 65,000 people in more than 350 different locations around the country, including community centres, theatres and other venues, anything outside of a traditional synagogue. For many Israelis, religious or otherwise, the ancient observance of Yom Kippur is inextricably linked to a modern trauma, the anniversary of the outbreak of the 1973 war, which took Israel by surprise, shattered its confidence, and left more than 2,500 soldiers dead in 3 weeks of fighting. When Yom Kippur is marked across Israel and the Jewish world on Wednesday, many synagogues will sing one of the service's central prayers to a tune written on a kibbutz in northern Israel 28 years ago as a result of the Yom Kippur war. Unetanek Tokef is one of the key prayers of the Days of Awe, describing God's judgment and the insignificance of human beings who are, as the prayer says, like a broken shard, like dry grass, a withered flower, like a passing shadow and a vanishing cloud, like a breeze that blows away and dust that scatters, like a dream that flits away. In 1973, Yom Kippur fell on October the 6th. On Kibbutz Beit HaShittah, a thriving community in the Jordan Valley, as in the rest of the country, the day's silence was violated by news of a surprise attack on two fronts and by military vehicles that began roaring through the kibbutz gate to take men to their reserve units. Their destinations were the fighting in Sinai, where the Egyptians had crossed the Suez Canal and were pushing Israeli forces back into the desert, and the Golan Heights, where the Syrians had broken through the unmanned Israeli line and were advancing towards Kinneret. The magnitude of the casualty numbers after the war became clear to Israelis when the war ended on October 25th, and no community in the country had suffered more losses per capita than Beit HaShittah. One day after the war's end, 11 small army trucks pulled through the kibbutz gates, headlights on even though it was daytime. Each bore one coffin. The dead men were the kibbutz's next generation, young workers and fathers, most of them reservists. For a small and tightly knit community, it was a nearly incomprehensible loss. From 1973 on, Yom Kippur became the kibbutz's day of mourning for the men killed in the war. The grief of Beit HaShittah was still raw 17 years later in 1990, when one of Israel's best-known songwriters, Yair Rosenblum, came to stay at the kibbutz. Rosenblum was famous for writing dozens of hits, including the most popular songs sung by the military entertainment troops that topped the charts in the 1960s and 70s. As Yom Kippur approached that year, he decided to give something of himself to the kibbutz as a tribute to the fallen. According to one memoir, he originally thought he would write new music for Kol Nidre, but he was moved by the words of Unetane Tokef. The prayer's name, translated as "Let us relate the power of this day's holiness," was far from the kibbutz's secular approach to Yom Kippur. Members saw the day as an occasion for meditation and honoring the dead that had nothing to do with a god whose non-existence they considered to be an article of faith. The prayer, in contrast, depicts humans as negligible in comparison to a deity described as an all-powerful shepherd, a righteous judge, and an eternal power over the lives of men. Despite this, Yair Rosenblum found in the words inspiration for a new melody that he would dedicate to the kibbutz's fallen. It is a melding of European cantorial melodies, Sephardic tunes, and modern Israeli music. The song was sung at the end of the ceremony on the eve of Yom Kippur that year. Rosenblum had introduced an unapologetically religious text into a stronghold of secularism and touched the rawest nerve of the community, that of the Yom Kippur War. Kibbutz member Ruti Peled wrote in 1998, "Something special happened. It was like a shared religious experience that linked the experience of loss, which was especially present since the war, the words of the Jewish prayer expressing man's nothingness compared to God's greatness, death to sanctifying God's name and accepting judgment, and the melody, which included elements of prayer." Word spread after the holiday, and a year later in 1991, Channel 1 TV filmed a documentary about the prayer and the kibbutz's fraught relationship with Yom Kippur. Rosenblum's tune began to catch on. In Israel and in Australia, it is now one of the most widespread melodies used for prayer that marks the height of the Yom Kippur service. The tune owes its power to the way it fits the haunting words of the prayer, but also to the fact that it links two of the most powerful strands in the modern Israeli experience of Yom Kippur, the weight of Jewish tradition and the weight of the tragedies of 1973. The late Aryeh Ben-Gurion, the nephew of Israel's first prime minister and a member of Beit HaShittah, who was an authority on the kibbutz movement's Jewish observance, noted in 1991 that one of the prayer's themes was Kiddush Hashem, literally the sanctification of God's name. The phrase is often used to describe self-sacrifice for the greater good. Ben-Gurion said, "I think Kiddush Hashem exists not only for religious people, and that the cemeteries of over 100 years of Zionism are mostly evidence of Kiddush Hashem on the part of parents who buried children because a young son gave his life for something that was more important to himself than himself." The tune is an illustration of the mix of national remembrance and traditional practice that has come to infuse Israel's observance of the most solemn day of the Jewish calendar. For all Israelis, religious or secular, there's an indignation that our state was attacked on the holiest day of the year. An unforeseen consequence of that is the shared mourning for those who fell and gratitude for our ultimate victory and survival, which binds the nation together in awe on the day of awe. This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem, wishing everyone Chatima Tova.
sbs.com.au